Mercy, grace, and peace are yours through your God and Father and through your Savior from sin, Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed. Our sermon text for this morning comes to us from the book of Joshua, the last chapter, selected verses. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel at Shechem, and he summoned the elders of Israel, its heads, its judges, and its officers, and they presented themselves before God. Then Joshua told all the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, has said. From ancient times, your ancestors, including Terah, who was the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River and served other gods. But I took your father Abraham from across the river, and I caused him to walk through the whole land of Canaan. I multiplied his seed, and I gave Isaac to him. And to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I gave Esau the hill country of Seir to possess, but Jacob and his sons went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I afflicted Egypt with the plagues I sent there. Afterward, I brought you out. So I have given you a land for which you did not labor. I gave you cities that you did not build, but you have been living in them. I gave you vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant, but you are eating from them." Joshua said, "Now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve him wholeheartedly and faithfully. Remove the gods that your fathers served in the region across the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if you see no benefit in serving the Lord, then choose for yourselves today whomever you will serve, whether the gods that your fathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. Congregation, may be seated. Mercy, grace, and peace are yours through your God and Father, through your Savior from sin, Jesus Christ, your fellow redeemed. Homelessness. Homelessness is a problem that our country suffers from, and so too does our state. We see it firsthand here all the time. In fact, the state of Washington is fifth in the country in homelessness. Oftentimes, you'll see people on busy streets holding up signs that say something like, "Anything you can give would help." They say beggars can't be choosers. Is that true? One time, this woman called me up here at church, and she asked me if I could help her financially out with her mortgage for the month. I explained to her that we're not a very large church, we don't typically do that sort of thing, but I tried to instead tell her that I could, in fact, talk to her about her sins and how Jesus died for them. She said, "Great." So I started to expand on the gospel about how Jesus died for her until I heard a dial tone. Obviously, I had missed her sarcasm in her response. "Great." She wasn't really interested in the assistance that the church really provides. Rather, she was interested in the external. That was her choice. After the Pentecost, Peter and John went to the temple, and they ran into a lame man, a man who had been lame from birth. This man had gathered alms there for years. Peter had no money to give him, but he had something far greater. He said to the man, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you." The man was healed there by the word of the Lord, and Peter preached to him Christ crucified to him. He walked and leaped and praised God. Salvation is not a choice. Salvation is a gift. It can only be given, in fact. Sure, we could make a choice. God creates us with free will. He did not create us as robots, automatons to serve him robotically. We can choose. Problem is, every time we choose wrong. We can never choose grace. It can only be given. In our sermon text this morning, Joshua presented the people of Israel with a choice. It was either the Lord or other gods. First, he presents them with evidence of God's goodness. Then they get the choice. Are you going to serve this God who has done good to you or not? Beggars can't be choosers, yet we are both. Beggars can forget how they got that way in the first place, and they can certainly reject good and gracious gifts. But the only way to stop being a beggar is to have someone come along and change you. That is what our God has done for us. We will serve and praise him out of love for the love that he has for you. So we pray, O Lord, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Verse 2. Then Joshua told all the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, has said." Here the leader, Joshua, tells the people what God says. He sort of reverses your run-of-the-mill sermon here. Typically a sermon starts out with law and then proceeds into gospel. Well, here, Joshua starts out with gospel. He reminds the people of all the times the Lord has been with them, all the good things he did for them in their past. He called out Abraham out of idolatry into faith. He miraculously blessed him in his old age with a son and an heir, Isaac. To Isaac, he blessed and gave Esau and Jacob. While he gave Esau the hill country of Seir, he led Jacob and his sons down to Egypt. There, they became a great nation, and he gave them Moses and Aaron to lead them out of slavery, and then Joshua to lead them into the promised land. The reason that the people were standing there that day was not because of who and what they were. Rather, they were standing there that day because of who and what their God is the Lord of heaven and earth. Verse 13, "So I have given you a land for which you did not labor. I gave you cities that you did not build, but you have been living in them. I gave you vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant, but you are eating from them." It was an act of pure grace that the people were alive there today, standing in this land, a powerful and mighty nation. People were always quick to forget what the Lord did to them through grace. The land they lived on, the cities they lived in, the grapes, the olives that they ate, none of that they worked for themselves. It was all given to them. They had inherited a good and gracious land from their God. It's a good point for us to remember as well. The Israelites came into a land that was promised to their ancestors hundreds of years prior, but everything that we also have here today has been gift-wrapped to us from our God. Here, we benefit from living in a country that was founded 200 plus years ago. How many generations of your family have lived in this nation? We worship in a church that none of us had a hand in building. We have an infrastructure that we benefit from in everyday life. There are lots of benefits that we are blessed with. But with the Lord, there are no coincidences, no coincidental blessings. The fact of the matter is, God placed you here for a reason. The Lord wants you here in this moment and time, this place, because he wants you a part of his kingdom, to love him and to serve him in that kingdom. We should never forget how we got to where we are today. Yes, there are many details in our past that we cannot remember. We can't speak about the blessings our great-great-grandfather got from the Lord. But we can look here in this text, the past that Joshua brings up here, the Israelites of old. Their blessings are your blessings. Israel were the beneficiaries of grace, but So was every single person who trusted in that Lord of Israel. Through him, through Israel, the Messiah would come. And through Jesus, every nation of the earth, including ours, is blessed. At this point in Joshua's sermon slash speech, there is a shift. He goes from speaking on the Lord's behalf, saying, I have done this, I have done that, and now he goes back to his own point of view. And Joshua's point of view, it's a little harsh. Verse 15, but if you see no benefit in serving the Lord, then choose for yourselves today whomever you will serve, whether the gods that your fathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. Joshua's whole point here is this. Look at what the Lord has done for you. He's kept you alive in the past, continue to be with you. So choose. Serve the Lord or go back to worshiping those other gods. That, of course, never worked out in the past. That's when all the bad things happened to Israel, but the choice is still before you here today. People react in a way that you would hope they would react when confronted with the law. The next following verses after our text, far be it from us, the people said, that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods. We will also serve the Lord, for he is our God. It's a good sign, right? The people react this way. You would hope to get a response like this when presenting people with the law. It is then surprising that Joshua comes back with their response with these words. Joshua 24:19-20. But Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he has done you good. Whoa. Some hot words there from Joshua. You cannot serve the Lord. He will not forgive your transgressions and your sins. Isn't that the opposite of what God's word tells us? Isn't he slow to anger and abounding in mercy? Why is he saying this here? Well, Joshua's not wrong. What we need to understand is that he's trying to address the people's belief that they could do these things by their own effort. It's like how Luther starts off his third explanation, the explanation to the third article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord, nor come to him. To have forgiveness, to be able to serve the Lord, well, first, you need to have faith. The problem is choice. Say you wanted to defend the false teaching of decision theology, you might point to this text and say, look, Joshua says choose here. Well, when it comes to serving the Lord, you can't choose to do that. That is, we cannot choose correctly. Joshua's conditional statement here is, if serving the Lord seems inappropriate to you, unbeneficial, well then choose, serve some other god. We can only choose not to serve him. And sadly, we end up doing that a lot. Beggars can't be choosers. Have you ever seen someone holding up one of those signs, a anything will help sign? Do they really mean it? Well, maybe some people do. It's hard to see the heart through a sign, but I'm sure most people are looking for something more specific, perhaps cash. And that's how we treat our God sometimes, too. Like we only want one thing specifically. We want what we want. That's why when Jesus prayed to the Father, he did not pray like we do. Rather, he prayed, not my will, but your will be done. When presented with a choice of which God we are going to serve, we need to understand that there really is not a choice. That is to say, the choice is so clear, there is no choice. It's like saying to a hungry person, "Here, come dine with me at this rich banquet. If you reject it, well, you may choose between garbage or the dunghill." Yes, we could choose, but the choice is between death and death. If you serve the Lord, as Joshua's whole point is here to get the people to do that, well, if you do so, you don't do it by your own choice. You did not choose him. Rather, his grace chooses you. It's like the great hymn sings, "Lord, 'tis not that I did choose thee, that I know could never be, for this heart would still refuse thee had thy grace not chosen me." What Joshua leaves the people with here is certainly a gem. You'll often find it displayed in many Christian homes throughout our land. It's both a statement and a reminder of faith. "But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Why is homelessness such a big problem? Well, it's certainly a complex issue, no doubt. It's one that many cities have to grapple with. The reason why someone is homeless will differ from person to person. The mayor of Seattle, who deals with a lot of homeless people in her city, lists the following as possible reasons for homelessness: racial inequity, economic disparities, mental health treatment, rising house costs, mental health, addiction, and so much more. But the real reason, of course, well, it's sin. We live in a sinful environment, and homelessness is another result of living in this veil of tears. And sin is the reason that many do, in fact, choose to serve other gods. Sure, you have those who serve Buddha or Muhammad, but even sometimes so-called Christians will serve other gods. There's something inside of us that thinks we need to help God along. We want to choose. We want to help out in our own salvation. We want a part in it. We need to do something. We need to cooperate with God somehow. What Joshua says here, it's not a bold declaration of choice, "but for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." He and his family would serve the Lord, something that God desires of everyone. Yes, we have the free will to choose not to do so, but we have been given grace and salvation and are able to serve him gladly. Serving the Lord, that's not something we can ever choose to do. It only happens after we've already been loved and saved. Yes, there are a lot of homeless people in our nation and in our state, but the real fact of the matter is we're all homeless. We're all beggars spiritually. We're all in sinful, dire straits. The real issue in solving this problem is recognizing it. They say that the first step in solving a problem is being able to admit that there is a problem. If you don't realize that you are a poor, miserable sinner, then you will never know that you need a Savior. Jesus said in Luke chapter 5, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." When Jesus said that, he was not implying that there are righteous people out there. There's not. We know this from both personal experience, life lived, and from revelation by the Holy Spirit. Psalm 53, "Every one of them has turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good, no, not one. But some think they are." This is why it's important to remember where you come from. Some of us might have ancestors who did something notable somewhere along the lines. But you know what all of your ancestors have in common? Same thing we all have in common with each other here today. It's sin. This is not something that we should be ashamed of. Well, we should be ashamed of it, but we don't need to hide from it. Rather, we admit it freely. The only way you can distance yourself from sin is by having a Savior who removes your guilt forever. Psalm 103, "For as far as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." Are we homeless? Are we desperate vagabonds? Oh yeah. We all descend from an incredibly long line of sinners like ourselves. Our sin is incredible. It is immense. But even more incredible is our great Savior who has loved us. His grace trumps our sin. It transforms us wretched and doomed sinners into grateful and loving saints. That is how Joshua is able to make such a bold claim here that he will serve the Lord. It's how we are able to make the same claim today. It's a claim that is not based on ourselves or our own abilities, rather on the grace that the Lord has given us to allow us to confess that. Romans 5:20, "Where sin abounded, grace abounded much more." Yes, homelessness. That's an issue in our country. It's an issue in the world. It's a hard problem to solve. You could throw all the money in the world at it. That would not guarantee necessarily an answer. The real reason it's such a hard problem to solve is that it's a result of life in this sinful world. But the real problem, that's been solved already. It was solved when Jesus Christ came into this world, went to the cross, and paid for the sins of the world there. Now, there is nothing separating us from receiving grace, salvation. The only thing that can separate you from receiving that, well, it's yourself. We can choose still to serve someone else, whether that's foreign gods, money, ourselves, or some other thing. We can all choose not to serve God. But God's grace has chosen you. He gave you faith which is able to believe that fact. Yes, we are beggars, and beggars cannot be choosers. Neither do we choose, for there is no choice. We will serve the Lord, not because we choose to, but rather because he has chosen you to. Well, praise and thanks be to Jesus Christ, who paid for your sins, gave you the faith to believe it, and allows you to boldly say, "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Amen. Amen. Please rise.